What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come?
Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
Aren't Christians such intolerant people? Don't they claim that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Hello. Welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions. I'm George Samietz, pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon, Suffolk. You can find us on the web by typing into any search engine Ascension and Lutheran and UK or Suffolk, or go directly to www.ascensionlutherans.co.uk. Today we pick up a common complaint against Christianity and Christians in relation to what seems offensive to many people. This has to do with the Christian claim that Jesus is Lord. That statement has always been controversial. In Roman times, it was said in contrast to, Caesar is Lord. No, said Christians, Jesus is Lord. To the Jews, this was also very controversial because such words would be heard as, Jesus is the Lord, that is, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was the blasphemy that got Jesus executed. And for his followers to go around saying such things as, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, by being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, that's a straightforward claim if there ever was one. Jesus was a challenge to both the Jewish and Roman worlds right from the beginning. So it is not surprising that such a challenge, controversy, still happens today. Implicit in the description of Jesus as Lord, think of Jesus' words about himself when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Are claims about divinity? Who is God? And then salvation, or to put it bluntly, heaven and hell. Jesus created a stir wherever he went because the logical conclusion of his deeds, think miracles, in particular the stilling of the storm, or walking on water, was that he was God. Or consider his way of teaching, not quoting the scribes and other religious points of view, but he goes straight to the point, but I say to you, and again often followed up with a sign, that is a miracle, all pointing to Jesus' identity as divine. Or think of Jesus' apparently natural self-belief that he could forgive sins. This definitely got noticed, and never with approval, by the religious leaders. Who is he to forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. What can be plainer than Jesus' words pointing to himself when he said to the critical crowd with the paralyzed man lying at his feet and the paralyzed man's four friends peering through the roof, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins? He then says to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. The inference is clear. The Son of Man can forgive sins. Now, if only God can forgive sins, then the Son of Man is God. And if Jesus is regarded as the Son of Man, then voila, Jesus is God. This isn't rocket science, just logical argumentation, backed up in this case by a paralyzed man walking around. The claim that Christians are intolerant or arrogant over Jesus might be true of individual Christians in their zealousness or pride, but I don't think that is the real issue at all. Claims that Christians are intolerant or arrogant are mostly attacks on Jesus and his claims about himself. That's the real issue. Who is Jesus? C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, tackled this question about Jesus, and one of the world's most favourite answers, that Jesus is a great moral teacher. If you're looking for a book to read at the moment, consider it. It's called Mere Christianity. Here's a section from it where Lewis is talking about the claim that Jesus is God. One part of the claim tends to slip past us unnoticed because we have heard it so often that we no longer see what it amounts to. I mean the claim to forgive sins, any sins. Now, unless the speaker is God, this is really so preposterous as to be comic. We could all understand how a man forgives offences against himself. You tread on my toe and I forgive you. You steal my money and I forgive you. But what should we make of a man, himself unrobbed and untrodden on, who announced that he forgave you for treading on other men's toes and stealing other men's money? Asinine fatuity is the kindest description we should give of his conduct. Yet this is what Jesus did. He told people that their sins were forgiven and never waited to consult all the other people whom their sins had undoubtedly injured. He unhesitatingly behaved as if he was the party chiefly concerned, the person chiefly offended in all offences. This makes sense only if he really was the God whose laws are broken and whose love is wounded in every sin. In the mouth of any speaker who is not God, these words would imply what I can only regard as a silliness and conceit unrivaled by any other character in history. Yet, and this is the strange, significant thing, even his enemies, when they read the Gospels, do not usually get the impression of silliness and conceit. Still less do unprejudiced readers. Christ says that he is humble and meek, and we believe him, not noticing that if he were merely a man, humility and meekness are the very last characteristics we could attribute to some of his sayings. I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claims to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic, on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. So far, Lewis. Planet Earth has to deal with Jesus ever since he set foot here. Please note, I said this in the present tense, not as a history lesson. People can have an opinion about a person from history. Alexander the Great was great. Michelangelo was a genius. Hitler was a monster. But it has little or no relevance to them today, except possibly as a role or anti-role models. But not so Jesus. And that is what the world senses. He's more than history because his grave is empty and the world cannot prove otherwise. So people have to deal with Jesus not just as someone from history, but as someone in their face, so to speak, right now. If Jesus is alive, if he said he is God, if he calls people to follow him, then people can't just relegate him to the pages of history, but they have to deal with him in their own lives, and us as sinners don't like anyone claiming to be God and reminding us that we are not. Our postmodern world of subjective realities and no absolutes allows us the illusion that we determine reality. Now, we determine a lot about our lives. We have choices and responsibilities after all, but just saying that there isn't a God doesn't make it so. The alleged arrogance or intolerance of Jesus or his followers is really the world's awkwardness and uncomfortability at the temerity of Jesus to make claims over us. Now, we fear those who would claim authority over us, boss us, so to speak, not just because we want to be lord of our own lives, but because the world is littered with examples of the abuse of authority, of human beings acting as petty godlike tyrants. And I'm not necessarily talking about politics and big picture stuff like corruption and so on. This can be seen in the jealous person or in cases of domestic violence where control is the desire. Also in the playground, in the workforce, and so on, etc., etc. Because there is no or little good authority, Jesus claims to have it, is treated with skepticism and fear. And that's a shame, because in Jesus' case, his crown are thorns. His throne is a cross. and his rule is one of service to us. When people come to see and understand who Jesus is and what he has done, then they do follow him. What else would you do when you have been loved like that? There's also a secondary element to this issue of Christian or church arrogance or intolerance in claiming the uniqueness of Jesus as the face of God and the way of salvation. In today's world, it is often suggested or implied that Christianity is not as enlightened or tolerant than other religions, that it is the cause of so much misery in the world, and other religions are more progressive and tolerant of diversity. Leaving aside for this answer the allegations that Christianity has been the cause of more misery and suffering than peace and happiness, I do want to challenge the inference that other religions are enlightened and tolerant, and Christianity is the bad boy on the block. Go into the supermarket of religion, where each aisle is a different religion all claiming their truths, and try and tell the aisle of Islam that Allah is not God, or that Muhammad is not his prophet, and you will get a clear and definitive no. They won't budge on this point. Tell the Hindus you meet in the Hinduism aisle that there is no samsara or moksha, and we only live once, a linear existence, not cyclic, and they will no doubt point out how incorrect you are, while claiming that you have many lives to find out. If atheism is in the supermarket, after all, atheism itself is a faith and can't be proven, or if you want, or if they want, put them in the car park, but go up to them and say, there is a God, then they're going to tell you clearly that you're wrong. If saying no to people or claiming an absolute truth labels people as arrogant or intolerant, then please label more than Christians and Christianity. Truth, by definition, excludes things that are not true. No amount of being nice changes that fact, though of course being nice is always more pleasant than being nasty. Christians have the best message to share with the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This truth, this gospel, this good news focuses on Jesus, and yes, we say that he is God, who came not to be served, but to serve. Not just past tense, present tense. Serve us now. Yes, we are called to speak this truth, and speak it with love. There is no place for these words to be accompanied by our pride or arrogance or dismissiveness or anything other than love. What we say about Jesus is important, and so is how we say it. After all, Jesus only ever did what he did, motivated by love. And that is how his followers seek to live. And that is the message the world needs to hear. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.